John chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Welcome back. As I said, we're going to spend the next few minutes thinking and reflecting on that part of John's Gospel we heard read earlier on, and the words that we heard Jesus speaking to his friends. Whenever we come to God's Word, the Bible, Christians believe that we hear God himself, our Creator, speaking to us. And so it's right that we ask him for his help. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that when we open this book, the Bible, you do speak to us. That we meet your Son, our Lord Jesus, and that your Spirit is with us to help us understand. We pray that you would do that for us this morning. Amen. So what comes to your mind, what images are conjured up by the word home? Maybe for you, it's a place of safety. It's warmth as the evenings draw in and the night gets darker and it's colder. It's coziness, kind of being wrapped up. Or maybe for you, as you think about home, your mind is suddenly filled with sepia-toned happy memories that you can draw on for a lifetime. That may be true for many of us, and it's wonderful. But then again, for many others, home is a more negative word. Far from a place of safety, it's a place that speaks of not being safe, a place of insecurity. And yet when you think about it, even for people whose experience of home has been more negative, they know it shouldn't have been that way. Deep down within each of us, we have a way of thinking that says to us what home should be like, a place of warmth and safety. Because whether we've known it or not in our experience, actually each of us has an ideal vision, an ideal version of what home should be like, don't we? We think of home as a sanctuary, a place where we can escape to from the kind of the stresses and busyness of life itself, kind of outside. And a place of companionship where we can enjoy time with family and with friends. That's what we know home should be like. And that is why, for so many, lockdown has been so very hard. Because that ideal vision of home has been challenged. It's become distorted. It's even been burst for some of us, like a fragile bubble. That place of escape and sanctuary has become a place of confinement and isolation. And as we find ourselves being told to stay at home, so we find ourselves almost imprisoned, and the only windows are our glowing screens, which let us peek into other people's homes. And so we find ourselves longing. Just in this last week, it's been really good news to hear, hasn't it? The news that Pfizer and some of the other pharmacological companies are making significant progress on their vaccines against coronavirus. This vaccine, which is promising to take life back to normal. Back to, well, giving us our homes back. As homes. They don't have to be our places of work and our places of confinement anymore. We can have them back as home, like normal. At the same time, this longing for a sense of home and homeliness seems to be driving forward all sorts of different things in our culture. The Great British Bake Off, for example, is seeing record viewing figures as people are enjoying the sense of homeliness that it brings. And meanwhile, the Christmas advertisers, well, we need to be braced for more nostalgia than we have ever seen before this Christmas. Because they want to tap into our longing. And what we're longing for is home. And I want to ask, what does God say about that? And that's where this passage in John chapter 14 comes in. Because as we meet Jesus and his friends in John chapter 14, home is on their minds. Home is on Jesus' mind. As we zoom in to the room that they're in, we'll find Jesus and his friends celebrating the Passover together. This is like the high point of their year. It's an opportunity for family to get together. It's a little bit like Christmas for us now. They gather together, they celebrate together, they feast together, they celebrate what God has done for them. It's the high point of their celebration of Jewish religion. And yet, as we reach John chapter 14 and we see Jesus and his friends, the atmosphere in that room is strange. It's somber, because it seems that Jesus knows that this is the last time that he is going to be eating with his friends. And so the whole room feels heavy, as Jesus has just said to his friends, "Do you know, I'm leaving. I'm leaving you. And actually, every single one of you, you're going to let me down." It's shattering for Jesus' friends to hear this. They have put all of their hope for life to be better, for their relationship with God to be made better, into Jesus. And now Jesus is saying he's going and they're going to let him down. And it's into that context that Jesus says the words of verse 1. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And that, when you think about it, is a crazy thing to say. Jesus is basically putting himself on the same level with God. "You believe in God, well, in the same way, believe in me. As you feel, I know you feel right now that all hope is lost, that all that you know and hope for is being shattered and removed from you. Well, in that case, I am the one you should trust," says Jesus. And you've got to think, why? How can you possibly make that claim? And why would you possibly make that claim? And this is what Jesus says. Verse 2, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you?" That is an incredible thing for Jesus to say. Because immediately he taps right into his friend's longing for life to be better, for life to be different. Because the point is that when things feel like they're going wrong, when everything starts to feel like it's shaking, that is the point at which our longing starts to increase. That nagging feeling that something here doesn't fit. And don't we know exactly the same? Just the other week, one of my children, just as lockdown 2 was announced, was crying and lamenting about the fact that a planned play date had to be cancelled. And as he talked about how frustrated he was about that, he said, "It just feels like nothing works properly. I want to do things, but I get bored and I get frustrated. I can't see who I want to see. I fall out with my friends and my family. Nothing seems to be quite right. And I don't feel like I belong or fit." And actually, we know what that feels like, don't we? That's what makes the hope for a vaccine to take life back to normal actually quite strange when you think about it. Because what is it that it is kind of telling us to hope for A return to normality, right? A chance to get our homes back the way they were in January. That's better than life right now, yes, but actually, is it really enough to answer our longing? The psychologist Steven Pinker has spent a significant amount of his life and a significant amount of words writing about how, on every objective measure, human life has almost never been better than it is in the 21st century. Measures of violence down compared to any point in history. Measures of poverty down compared to almost any point in history. Measures of equality up compared to almost any point in history. And yet, you only need to take one look at the passionate division between political ideologies to see that we deep down long for an awful lot more. Which begs the question, what is it that we're comparing this life to if we still want more? It's certainly not something we've experienced before. Here's how the author Madeleine L'Engle put it. We are all strangers in a strange land, longing for home, but not quite knowing what or where home is. We glimpse it sometimes in our dreams or as we turn a corner, and suddenly there's a strange, sweet familiarity that vanishes almost as soon as it comes. In the end, deep down, each one of us is longing for a home we've never known. We're going to take a pause just now to reflect on that. If you want a longer pause, you can press the pause button. Otherwise, we'll be back in a moment. So right at this moment of crisis, this moment when Jesus says to his friends, I'm leaving, and everything you hope for will seem like it's shattering. It is at that moment that Jesus picks up on this deep human longing. And he makes an astonishing promise. Verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. This is an amazing image. Jesus gives us an image of an eternal home, a place where we will always belong, where it will always feel like everything fits. And he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Maybe imagine the most beautiful, luxury bed and breakfast hotel that you can possibly imagine. Maybe it's out somewhere in the British, rolling British countryside, or somewhere in the beautiful Lake District, or the Highlands of Scotland, or somewhere like that. It's absolutely gorgeous. The grounds that this place sits in are perfect. It's just simply the stuff of dreams. And you call up and you book and you give your name and you make your payment. And from that day on, because they're dedicated and conscientious, the owners start to get things ready for you. They start to kind of put all the finishing touches in place. They get the rooms ready. They put kind of fresh flowers in the rooms. They want everything to be absolutely perfect. And then when you arrive, you walk in through the door and they greet you with a smile and they say, "Oh, you must be Matt. Welcome. It's good to have you." That's the kind of image that Jesus is giving us, only to an infinite degree. An eternal home, an eternal place where we belong, and he is getting things ready for us. And the question is, how? How does Jesus get things ready for us in an eternal home? And in order to answer that question, well, actually, the first thing we need to know is, why do we need him to in the first place? Because as we recognise that deep human ache, which seems to be a universal human ache for home, well, then we need to ask, it begs the question, what is it that gives nostalgia, which seems to have a different translation in every single culture across the world, what gives this idea of nostalgia its power? And the answer is that right at the centre of our lives, there is something distorted. It seems that we are made for a reality which we don't experience in this life. What is that? Well, Jesus' answer is my Father's house. You and I were made to be at home with God. And the trouble is that although we experience a longing for that, at the same time, within us, there is this significant part of us that simply does not want to be at home with God. Because, of course, being in God's house means being in God's place. It means being under God's culture, being set by his ways. But in us rises this cry that says, no, I want the agenda to be set by my ways. And so rather than having one home with 7 billion residents, we live in a world of 7 billion individuals desperately trying to build their own castles and keep one another and God out. As Julian Barnes famously wrote, I don't believe in God, but I miss him. And in response to that, many will say, well, eventually, doesn't God kind of have to take us back in? Isn't that sort of what God does? You know, the big loving God. Is he not just going to sort it all out and take us all back in? And Jesus's answer is, well, no. Think back to that perfect bed and breakfast. If you pitch up at the door, having not made a reservation, they'll say, I'm sorry, we don't know you. There isn't a place for you here. But here, to his disciples, to his friends, and to us, Jesus says, I am making your reservation. And what's more, I will pay. Because the very next day, after John 14, Jesus was arrested and taken and pinned to a cross to die a death which invented the word excruciating and to pay the moral debt that we have to God that we could never pay ourselves. Jesus promises the home we have never known. And that is definitely worth reflecting on. So here's Jesus' invitation to us this morning, if you like. His invitation is to come home. And the question is, will we? Now you may be asking immediately, well, how? How exactly do I do that? And that is where Thomas, one of Jesus' friends, helps us. Because Thomas, it seems, isn't really very clear what Jesus is talking about. And so he asks the obvious question. Verse 5, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? It's a sensible question, isn't it? Makes perfect sense. And Jesus' answer is wonderful. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Here is Jesus' offer. He says, I can take you home. I can promise the home you have never known. And that is why he started with those words, believe in me. When everything seemed like it was going wrong for his friends, he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. That is not to say believe in facts about me, believe about certain things about me. Rather, he is saying, put yourself into my hands. If you like, it's the difference between knowing that a surgeon is a competent and good surgeon and actually going to him for surgery because you know you need that lump cutting out. That is what it means to come to Jesus and to believe in him and to say he is the way He will take us home when we can't get ourselves there. And that is the wonderful offer that he has for us. Just listen to how he closes. He says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Because that is the wonderful thing about this promise that Jesus makes. It's not simply about a longing for home that Jesus promises to fulfill in us one day if we trust in him, but we just have to wait and carry on longing for now. No, instead, Jesus says he will bring home to us. That as we trust in him, he brings that sense of belonging with God to us because he will come to us and make his home in us. And so all of that longing can find itself beginning to be met as we know and love the Lord Jesus. Jesus promises the home we've never known. And the question is, will you accept that offer and come home? It may be that you have loads of questions still this morning, and that is a great place to be, and we'll give you different ways that you can perhaps explore some of those questions in a few minutes. But it may be that, you know, you've asked plenty of questions. And you know that that longing is still there. And you are convinced that Jesus' offer is true. If that's the case, then I would love to invite you to accept that offer now, this morning. I'm going to read a prayer so that you can hear it and see it on the screen. And then if you would like to do that, I will pray it and you can join in with me. The prayer goes like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for your promise to bring me home to God. I confess I need it. I haven't lived according to God's ways. Please forgive me and make your home with me from now on. Amen. I'm going to pray that prayer now, and if you would like to, you can echo that in your heart with me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your promise to bring me home to God. I confess I need it. I haven't lived according to God's ways. Please forgive me and make your home with me from now on. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer just now, then I want you to know that God has heard it and answered it, and he will from now on make his home with you. The best thing to do now would be to tell someone, perhaps tell a Christian friend, or if you'd like, you can email me using the email address at the bottom of the screen, questions@eden-cambridge.org.